The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Money as a hard-working man. You got the property and I like just what I see. So could you ease up on that price just for me? She showed me one little piece. It had a couple sprouts, but that ain't nothing much that I had to worry about. I'll just clean it up. I'll pick up every tweak. I'll take out my...
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 20th of January, 2025, and you are on the clock with Aaron Green. And who knew that KB wrote a song about the existing housing crisis? Who knew? Who knew that KB wrote a song about what the MF calls in this article today an affordable housing crisis? Well, good morning. We have got lots to talk about today, January the 20th, the day of President Trump's inauguration. We say good morning to our brothers and sisters and our cousins to the north in the United States of America. A couple of quick housekeeping on the show. The HHT Family Association meeting will be held on Thursday, the 30th of January at St. John's College. It is the last Thursday in the month. The last Thursday in the month, HHT Family Association meetings resume or begin for the 2025 year. Like I said, a couple more quick housekeeping notes. We're going to move between the U.S. inauguration and what's in the headlines today. A quick note. I imagine Ministry of Works, Public Works, is currently completing a sidewalk project on Nassau Street. I think I could say confidently that the project is not completely finished yet, but it is obvious that there are no drains. The sidewalk has no drains. What plan has been put in place to deal or to mitigate water, flood water, standing water, after what appears to be a short rain at this point in the area? Some parts of the sidewalk are so low that people standing on the sidewalk would not be able to avoid standing water or flood water. Some parts of the sidewalk have been created in a way that suggests that people could just drive their car over the sidewalk. And I'd like to know, when did that piece of land, right, between Nassau Street and then to the west of it, is that Pitt Road? Or no, Pitt Road stops a little further north, that little access way, I think, from Pitt Road to back to the roundabout. When did that become a thoroughfare? When did drivers decide that they could drive through there like it was a corner? That's very troubling. It leads me to another quick note. Before the end of 2024, people on social media were suggesting that the road paving projects on Shirley Street East and East Bay were complete. That they done finish. I mean, it's obvious to anybody who has witnessed the road being paved that they could not be complete. It could not be finished. That could not be it. Right? But in the absence of public notices and timelines. We're not quite sure. But there's a public safety issue where people presume or pretend that because the lines have not been returned, repainted on the road, that there must be no lines, there must be no controls, evidenced by the large number of people who have now taken to driving up Bay Street in the middle of the road. We call it hogging two lanes, improperly entering the next lane. And since we know we have a pandemic, like all the cars come without waking turn signals, apparently, drivers are left to wonder if the driver in front of them is having a stroke or is this the consequence of stunted development. It's very problematic and dangerous. The next quick point. A listener pointed out to me that there's a very dangerous situation located on the road between Farrington Road and University Drive. The road that leads you or gives you access to McDonald's and the Wendy's drive-thru. For months and months and months, there was a trailer that was just parked partially in the road on what I would call the northern side of the road. With the construction taking place now on the western side of the road, another large piece of equipment, I think it's a dumpster, has been positioned on the southern side of the road, creating an obstruction in the roadway, but also a visual obstructions for drivers. Couple that with the reckless and wanton foolishness of drivers going to these fast food restaurants that think that because they are spending money, they must have the right of way. It has become a quagmire of potential catastrophe. Could somebody, anybody, could anybody attend to it? Is anybody in the Royal Bahamas Police Force actually attending to traffic enforcement? I do want to note that more signs have been erected on the island of New Providence indicating where you can turn left on red. The Moss Road side of the University Drive, University Commons intersection, the Moss Road part of the intersection now has a sign that says give way on red. It's supposed to say turn on left. Left turn on red is permitted, so that you know that it's not a give way. You're supposed to treat it like a stop sign and come to a complete stop, because that's what the legislation says. That's what the legislation says. But you're telling me that the people who made the signs were not required to look at the actual legislation before they made the signs? And then at the intersection of Parkgate and Village Road, those from the Village Road northbound at the Parkgate light and the Parkgate side of the Village Road intersection, they're on the traffic utility, the traffic light, there is a signal for turning left. If that signal is red, you're not permitted to turn left on red. Both on the Village Road side and the Parkgate side. I mean, that's really simple and basic, you know. You shouldn't even need a class to figure that out in your own head. If there is a turn signal for a left turn, when it is on red, you're not permitted to turn left. But guess what? I know plenty of y'all know that. You just don't care. You have no regard for the law. That's fine. Y'all are the descendants of slaves. I get that's in, like that's inherent, you know. We are the descendants of people whose lives were rendered as invisible. And that was reinforced by the law. So I get it why you don't care for the law. I mean, I don't understand how you could be 67. Like, right? Like, I don't understand how you could be 67 in New Providence with PMH being your best source of health care and you round the place running red lights and stop signs with your grandchildren in the car. I will never get that. But I get why you have a... poignant is not the right word, right? Like, but you have a itching desire to ignore the law in your heart. But what about the other people? What about the other humans that also share the road with you? You see, forget the law, because y'all don't care about it. But what about other people? Y'all don't care about other people? No? What about your own children and family members in the car? Y'all don't care about them either? No? I mean, I guess not. Maybe not. Maybe that's where we are. Maybe that's where we are. We got lots to talk about, so I'm not going to share. I'm saving a traffic day for another day. Texas said, great show as usual, Miss Green. You forgot you have 15% European in your blood, so you ain't included in the slavery example. I think I have 17%. Boy, I tell you, we different. Texter. That's a lovely way to say, I don't know nothing about science, but I can give it a shot. It's okay. It's okay. I'm obviously of African descent primarily. Even though I may be phenotypically European, it's okay. It's okay. It says, Trump is getting in office today and he will be the 47th president. The number for today is 047 and 0047 on this first day of our overlord. Thank you very much, Texter, for your sound advice. And another Texter says, people in New Providence can't drive, the white people included. The PM should let us walk or ride a donkey till we learn how to drive. See, there's a problem with that because there's all of that automotive-derived tax that they rely on, despite understanding that they're not teaching the people how to operate the cars properly. Hmm? Yes, sir. Okay, lots to talk about in today's paper. IMF rental property and rental rates outpaced wages growth. Property prices and rental rates outpaced growth in Bahamian wages fold during the decade to 2022 to deepen the housing affordability crisis, the IMF has revealed. Wow. Property prices and rental rates outpaced growth in Bahamian wages sevenfold during the decade to 2022 to deepen the housing affordability crisis, the International Monetary Fund has revealed. I have a guest joining me in studio this morning. His name is Mr. C.A. Nuri. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. I introduce you to ask you one simple question. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the exact year when Hubert Ingraham repealed the Immovable Properties Act? And do you think that there's a link, maybe not a cause, but a correlation between the repealing of the Immovable Properties Act and this trend where we saw property prices and rental rates outpace growth in Bahamian wages sevenfold during the decade to 2022?
I don't know the exact date, but it's definitely a supply and demand crunch. There is an appetite for Bahamian land and property, and that appetite is foreign-based. And they are prepared, and they have access to any amount of money that is that whatever you plan to charge. Places like Harbour Island, mm-hmm. you cannot afford to buy. The property has skyrocketed, and locals, Bahamians, are no longer in that market to even try to apply. Out West, I believe, Out West, New Providence, it eventually would be sold. Bahamians are prepared to sell the land, privately owned land, and there are people in this world who once lived in the Bahamas, once experienced Bahamian way of living, who are prepared to pay whatever and gate it off, that they don't have any problems and continue to be safe.
All right.
So in the future, you'll see that one or two of us won't be able to see places that we grew up rummaging through the
bush. Well, you mean we won't be able to drive on the road?
You wouldn't be able to drive on the road either. Yeah, they make that those roads private and gated. Gated community is the new normal here in the Bahamas.
You mean the old normal?
Or the old normal.
Because, I mean...
We always had gated.
They were fashionable back then, yeah. Right? But they were called plantations. So, yeah. Good day, Aaron. You and I suffer from the shared delusions that in an independent nation supposed to have sense... that an independent nation supposed to have sensible traffic laws and enforcement of same. Listen, it's sort of simple. Anytime I hear a politician talking about national development, but they don't use the word or reference the archipelagic exterior nature of our country, then I know they're talking off the top of their head. In the same way, whenever I hear politicians talking about crime or the economy, but they don't talk about traffic enforcement as a primary tool in reinforcing the effective and efficient movement of goods, peoples, and services throughout your country, then I know they're talking foolishness. And you should know that too. They're talking off the top of their heads. Anytime somebody, in fact, the big headline today, IMF economic growth slowing, anytime anybody wants to talk to you about the decisions the government has made in reference to the IMF, ask them to what extent would reforming and improving the effective and efficient movement of goods, peoples, and services help to grow or even stabilize our economy, and see what they say. Look very closely at their eyes, their mouth, their nose, their fingers. See, sometimes no words come out, but they say in plenty. See what they say. Okay. Another quick headline that I think, I didn't expect it this morning, but I think it needs to be read into the record. Man's life altered as rusty nail leads to amputations. Now, you see, I don't like this headline because, well, you can see when I continue reading. Ezekiel Miller dreamed of becoming a mechanic and starting a family, but his life changed dramatically when he stepped on a rusty nail at 14 years old, causing a viral infection that led to the amputation of body parts. Now the community in Grand Bahama is rallying around him after learning about his story, which was featured on ZNS last week. The young man is now 21 years old. But this incident, this medical incident, accident occurred when he was 14, when he was still a minor, with 4 years, approximately three to four years before he reached the age of majority. Let's continue the story. Quote, I was walking home through a cut, and when I came home, I told my mummy I had a rusty nail in the bottom of my foot, and I did not know. I did not feel it, he told the Tribune yesterday. Due to severe swelling, doctors informed him it was too late to save the leg. What do you mean? Like, I remember getting bitten by a dog, right? My neighbor's dog. My neighbor, young boy, sick the dog on me, you know. But his mother responded because she was the adult. And she said, look, let's go. Take you home, right up the road, right? Let me make sure you get home. Tell your mommy what happened, and then let me know what y'all do next. So we go to PMH. We're in PMH for hours. Hours. And my grandma say, hey, don't watch nothing. She ain't dying. I can pick her up and take her to the doctor in the morning. Take her home. Went to the doctor in the morning, got a shot. I wondered why my grandma tell me put on my school uniform to go to the doctor, you know. I knew something was up. Mm-hmm. We went straight back to school after that.
You won't put on your uniform to get a discount?
No, my doctor isn't getting that type of discount. Okay. Yeah. It's a little private doctor, but he wasn't getting that type of discount. I mean, not even ice cream, no Wendy's, no nothing, just straight back to school. Mm. Anyway, the point is, how is it? I mean, what is the timeline between the injury and the diagnosis that they couldn't save the leg? Mm. Why is that not in the story? Right? Because it's a 14-year-old boy, you see what I'm saying? Like, when you think of him as a man, maybe you're not that interested because you think, oh, a man should have been more responsible mm-hmm. and take care of his own health. But it's a 14-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. And I imagine if he had to take a cut to get home, he have no car. Mm-hmm. And the people in his family don't have any car. Mm-hmm. Why is it that this boy who was injured at 14 is now at 21 rendered legless and missing two fingers? Mm. Quote, my dream job was going to be a mechanic and, you know, make kids and start a family, he said, adding that his health struggles prevented him from graduating school. See, this is the next thing. There's no way this should have prevented this boy from graduating school. Mm-hmm. In fact, there should have been an impetus to ensure that he graduated school, because he's going to have to rely on his mental faculties. He's going to have to rely on book academics potentially for employment. Currently unemployed and living with his mother, he requires assistance with daily tasks as a double amputee. While he can bathe independently, he still needs help with other activities. I do what I could do, he said. The 21st first leg at 14. I'm mad. And his second leg at 19. He also lost two fingers in 2024, leaving him with only eight fingers. Since his story aired, he has received significant support from the community, with over 1,000 shares of the ZNS segment and a pledge from a local businessman to provide him with a weekly allowance. You know, that's like when I went and I tell my uncle, look at my report card. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, you got an A for achievement and a C for effort. I say, but yeah, I get an A for achievement. He said, look what you could have done if you got an A+ for effort, an A for effort. The point is, while I appreciate the Tribune giving this story coverage, 1,000 shares on a social media platform is not the type of support that this young man needs.
I think they call it well-intentioned.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's well-intentioned.
Yeah, but that's as far as it goes.
A local businessman, and a pledge from a local businessman to provide him with a weekly allowance. Now that...
Yeah, I commend...
I could appreciate that.
But I still believe in empowerment, though.
Without a doubt.
We have institutions here that can employ him, educate him, to make him self-reliant.
There are institutions here that can begin fundraising efforts to ensure that all people who have been disabled through amputations can have access to the most basic prosthetics.
I remember I came across two deaf girls, about 10 years now, and they finished high school. So they went through the system, but they had issues finding employment because they were challenged, could not hear, right? And calling around to see what type of jobs that they could be employed for. And I found that nobody was prepared to give them opportunity. Said, okay, they're handicapped, this is default. Yeah. And I don't think corporate Bahamas sees them or think it's they have a duty of care to say, let me make room, let me make space for them. I commend the hotels, at least the two major hotels, Bahama and Atlantis, tend to hire physically challenged people. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what type of numbers they do it, but you can go on to their site and see at least 10, definitely Bahama, at least 10 working with serious physical defects, physical challenges. And they are gainfully employed. So we need more people to take up the mantle. Perhaps the number boys, perhaps the housing, our homes. What are people who used to pave the road?
Hot Mix and then Bahamas Striping Group.
They can employ people who are physically challenged.
Yeah.
And whatever degree.
Right. There's capacity, there's space.
In their big corporation to do it.
Right. Absolutely. And that's what we need. The young man, I want to call his name, Ezekiel Miller. The article ends with him thanking everyone. He says, thanks everyone for helping me. He said, noting he can be reached at 816-6027. That's 816-6027. And he is located in Grand Bahama. And we just say, Ezekiel, hold firm. Hold firm. You know, there's already been an outpouring of support. And we say thank you to that businessman who stepped up, understanding how in this particular country and cultural model, how important it is for a man to be able to have some money in his pocket to take care of himself, or at the very least, to be able to participate in society partially, you know, because he has a little bit of income. All right, here, let's go to the text line, and then we go into the inauguration, Mr. Newry. Here's a text, great show as usual. I was measuring a property about 3 years ago. I'm from the 70s and we believe in hot ginger ale and walking it off. You're trying to tell me years later my leg might have to come off? The devil is a liar. Rebuke that in the name of Jesus. No. The article suggests that there was an immediate response. He lost his first leg at 14. He was injured at 14. And subsequently, the article doesn't indicate whether it's a lack of access to care or a lack of attending care sessions, right? We're not quite sure, but we understand how losing a leg can affect someone. And so, you know, I want to reach out to GNNN, Marvin Johnson, and say, Marvin Johnson, look here. You're a big man who open your arms to man them, to say, hey, y'all start a group where y'all provide a space for younger men who've experienced amputations. You know? I think that would be a good deal. And obviously, we need access to more information about post-amputation health and care. Somebody said, what's his diet? Does he have diabetes? Is it being controlled? These are important things to understand as well. Oh, another text says, the Bay restaurant had caught on fire at Arawaki. Mr. Nuri, did you see that fire?
No, I did not.
Oh, boy. You know what concerns me? He's right opposite the entrance to the port. I don't know what's happening here, but when you see things happening, like, you just look around you and see what government entities or important state entities or, right, like, what type of businesses in that area? Because I find that the most traffic infractions occur near police stations and schools. Right? And we have a question of compliance. And do we understand what it means? Now, mind you, I don't know how the fire started. We don't know how the fire started. But fortunately, or I hope that, because it was situated so close to the port that there are cameras, there's camera footage available that would assist the authorities in determining how the fire started. A texter says, okay, that's the spot. He says, look, did they have permission to be at the location? Because the owner is saying he will come back, quote, bigger and better. I have a real problem with this shanty sprawl. We can have wooden structures, but they can be neat, organized, and with uniform designs. It's turning Nassau to eyesore. Why can't Nassau east of Gladstone Road look like Nassau west of Gladstone Road? That's a very simple answer. I'm going to send you an invoice when I finish. Density. That's the answer. Density is the answer. I can send the invoice via text. Along Prince Charles, there are a number of green spaces that have been bulldozed for development in the past week. Is Nassau west of Gladstone Road set to become all concrete? Does the PM know this is happening? Can he do something about it, or do we have to wait on PM Wilson to make a decision? Texter, why do y'all say such exciting things among excitable people and don't expect excitement? How many PMs do we have? I think we have four, you know.
At least.
I ain't sure. Mm-hmm. Remember Gilbert Morris said that there are six iterations of a prime minister in the Bahamas?
Mm-hmm.
We have a PM Cooper. We have a PM Cornish. A PM Davis and maybe a PM Wilson. Highland, was it? Remember the Scottish movie? I can't believe I can't remember the
Which
name.
One?
The one where there could only be one.
Highlander,
there could only be one.
Yeah, the classic.
Yes, y'all be careful. Aaron, there is a way we could assist a 21-year-old double amputee with two prosthetic legs so he can do for himself. Is there a way we can raise funds for that to restore his dignity? Texter, yes. I for that.
But there's scores of Bahamians who do not have.
Yes, and we could do it. We could do it. Okay, because here's what I'm saying. This is one of those things, since we're going to transition to our cousins in the north in a second, this is one of those things that could work easily, right? Now, for the interim, we may find that we will be accessing used prosthetics or gently used prosthetics, right? We may be getting an older generation of prosthetics to begin with. But without a doubt, we can connect at the sort of NGO level, at the social level. We could even connect at the church level. We could connect at the national level with other countries, entities, and organizations to provide access to basic prosthetic needs. Yeah. We could do it. Without a doubt, without a doubt. See, I don't want to talk about a proper allocation of national resources, right? I don't want to talk about money that should be intended for national development but is being wasted on disposable personal experiences. We're not casting blame. Well, all I can say is there's plenty of money out there, and I know it because the Department of Inland Revenue know it. Mm. They know it, and they're going after it. So why not encourage your government and the Department of Inland Revenue to begin creating models where people can get tax breaks for charitable donations. Mm. Yeah, let's do it. PM Cooper did it in Exuma. Mm. I mean, he didn't do it. Can write off their charitable donations for the Tour de Torquest in Exuma. They could write that off on their taxes in Canada or in America. One of the two. They're waking on it. The point is, it's possible. You just got to care enough about it. Another text, I believe it is the law that when a business has a certain number of employees, it must have a minimum number of disabled employees. Well, I got to check that out because I'm not certain if that would have been entrenched in law before the parking regulations were enforced in law more broadly. But at the same time, the International Labor Organization, mm-hmm. and the global labor movement, oh, they strong on these rights, buddy. Mm. Especially, particularly for people living with disabilities. Mm. Oh, they reinforce their rights. There's lots of policy work. There's not lots of, there's lots of work that Bahamians can draw on to support the creation of a legal platform in the Bahamas to protect disabled people. They say Outlander. What would you call it? Highlander. It's Highlander text that there can only be one.
Outlander was a good series too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoyed that.
Great show as usual. Bay at Street has been an ISO and is technically a shanty town. Texas, I can say that part, Miss Green. We Bahamians, we don't like used items. We don't? You sure? Because you know who like... You know who like recycle old non-applicable policies? Mm. Yeah. Okay, Mr. Nuri. Mm. You been to the States yet?
No.
You been to the embassy to pay tribute?
No. For them to invite me to one of their parties. I didn't get invited to no embassy party yet.
You need to perhaps become an advocate.
Yeah, that's it.
And throw your neck on the line. Yeah. I don't know why. I mean, I did that a couple of times.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was what
they tend
happening.
To like you. I think it's a policy thing.
Yeah? Policy thing?
A policy thing. They don't like me.
I'm sure they like you. That's why they don't invite you.
Yeah, I ain't going to no party. I ain't going to eat off of them yet. But you get to eat like 3, 4, 5 times last year. I eat off the embassy yet.
Just know that I don't drink.
No?
Because the plates are compensating for the lack of alcohol.
Yeah.
Because that's the rule. I don't drink. I don't drink and drive, without a doubt. So if I have to drive to your event, don't worry about serving me alcohol, because I ain't trying to drink.
Okay.
Let's go to the phone line, producer, before we transition to the U.S. inauguration. Good morning, caller. Caller, you still there?
Hello.
Hi, good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing? Good morning to you, Gail.
Good morning. Don't forget to say good morning to President Trump.
Yeah, President Trump is there.
Yes, sir.
trying to make it over there, but man, I'm scared of the cold.
Yo. You know who ain't scared of the cold?
Who?
I hear Zedness ain't scared of the cold.
No, yeah, Zedness and the mother of the broadcasters, they over there, so.
Hold on, where you hear that? Because I hear it, but I have not seen a formal or official press statement from Zedness saying, stay tuned to Zedness because we done send reporters not.
Yeah. They bought it. They announced it last week.
They did? That this is true? That they actually... Zedness?
Yeah, I think it was Zedness. I think our news, they do it the next...
Eyewitness News too?
Eyewitness News, yes. They went over there from last week.
From last week? You know how much stipend that is?
Yeah, man.
Wow.
We got money.
You got money? And you wouldn't tell me your name. Okay, no. Yes, sir. Sorry for bothering you. What'd you call for?
What I really call final. You remember the project with
the Golden Yoke program?
No. The project with Dr. Minnis had when he was in office about purchasing properties. and he's giving you a certain amount of time to build something on it, or else he will.
I think so. Yes.
Whatever become about that.
Oh, you mean the one for middle sort of working young working professionals that was supposed to be in the West?
I haven't heard anything from that anymore.
Yeah, that finish. That finish, right? Nuri, didn't they say we can put a hospital there instead? I think there were some environmental concerns, right? And then they were like, yeah, don't watch nothing. We can put a hospital there.
Okay. All right,
that's what I think.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Right.
But I'm not saying that the state should not look out for the needs of working class people. I mean, well, for professional, young professionals, right? But we have a serious housing crisis where it's not a matter of the people don't want to pay the rent. The people can't afford it. They just can't afford it. I need you to understand something. When you drive around Nassau, take a look at the homes, and you will realize that people in these nice, big, fancy homes, a lot of them cannot afford it either. They are not conducting the required and proper maintenance on their homes to to ensure their property value in terms of insurance and property value. Texas said it's a matter of trust. Okay, let's go and move on to producer. I don't know if you want to take a break right now before we transition. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, here is what I want to talk about. The Inauguration Day schedule, and then another article, who is and isn't attending Trump's inauguration, and another article, which I think is the best one. What could Trump's second term bring? All from articles from CBS. I want you all to know I ain't bringing in no wild conspiracy theory sources. You have a little look when we get back from the break.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bala Boy in his phone. What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bala hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when he find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Rona. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Wi-Fi is a treat, her nice. Me and my wife, we used to live so nice. Tell Johnny come with his sweet mouth. He talk and then he took her out. Well,
when I go to work at the bar. He pick her up in the fancy car. They ride the island from end to end. Then she talking how they only friends, but oh, look, misery. Wherever I meet Johnny, the people, they gonna be sorry to see. The queer for Johnny and the girl is for me. Yes! Oh, look, misery. Wherever I meet Johnny.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9. FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk. But look here, before you meet Johnny, you ain't never meet Johnny KK. Johnny KK say you need to get you an old head because she put all this headache. Uncle, you gave me Johnny KK, not Johnny. Don't mind Johnny. Let him do whatever he doing. All right, let's get into it quickly. We're going to look at the Inauguration Day schedule for Trump's 2025 presidential swearing-in. I'm reading from articles from CBS Online. President-elect Donald Trump will be inaugurated today, taking the oath of office to formally kick off his second term, making him 47th? Right, he's 47th, yeah, POTUS. Right. But was he
45, and then he moved to...
Right, that's what I thought. In the White House, the inauguration marks the official transfer of presidential power, with the executive branch changing hands from the Biden administration to the Trump administration. Here, what we do, we give it to the governor general, and then the governor general gives it to the next administration, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to the former administration passing it directly to the new administration. Mm-hmm. Interesting, interesting. With the executive branch changing hands from Biden administration to the Trump administration. The 20th Amendment states that a president's four-year term ends at noon on January 20th. That in the Constitution. And the president-elect is sworn in shortly after. The inaugural ceremonies of the president-elect and vice president-elect are planned by the Joint Congressional Committee on Inaugural Ceremonies. The theme of this year's ceremonies is, quote, our enduring democracy, a constitutional promise, close quotes.
I didn't know they have a theme.
So here's the question. Who said the theme? Well, led this year by Senator Amy Klobuchar, a Democrat from Minnesota, the committee oversees 8 events on Inauguration Day. But who sets the theme? Is it the Joint Congressional Committee on Inaugural Ceremonies? Or is it the former prime minister, former president, or is it the new president? See, because in the Bahamas, I was a part of the National Women's Week organizing committee, and we do all kind of things. We put together all kind of plans and ideas, but it is not us who make the decision, or in fact, who even choose the theme. All interesting stuff, especially comparing it to what happens in the Bahamas. So, first event, procession to the Capitol, then the vice president swearing-in ceremony, the president swearing-in ceremony, the inaugural address, the honorary departure of the outgoing president and vice president, the signing ceremony during which the new president signs nominations, memorandums, proclamations, or executive orders. 7, this may be the best time, the inaugural luncheon.
Oh, to meet.
Right. But now that the ceremony has been moved indoors because of extreme weather, who now gets to meet? 8, the pass-in review during which the president and vice president review military troops. 9, and the presidential parade, which will take place at Capitol One Arena in downtown Washington due to the cold. That's 9 events, even though they said 8 events. They, too, picked a page from the Bahamian political book, Confuse the Enemy. Mm-hmm. Producer, that's a new caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning to you, Nuri.
Morning, sir. How you do?
Yeah, I want to come on. I just want to say that, you know, the world is waiting to turn into that nest to see what happens in Washington, D.C.
I just want to know why our local news agencies want to do a program. Why would our local news agencies want to be there for the presidential inauguration?
We're competing for the 51st state. We can't have Canada, Greenland, or Panama beat us to that.
I understand.
Or Trinidad. They put in a heavy, heavy bid.
Yeah, so, yeah. You know, that's... what we have is an illusion of impact. You know, we are the type of country where if we were a mosquito and we entered the room, we'd swear that everybody was clapping for us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much.
But let me just say this.
Yeah,
hello?
Yeah. Yeah, you're here. You're here.
On the Removal Property Act, I'm waiting for someone to bring evidence, data showing the impact of that. For me, a data person, it has no impact that would have been said. In fact, this has became a calling card of the Progressive Liberal Party concerning what former Prime Minister Hubert Alexander Ingram did. Mm-hmm. But in their two terms under Perry Gladwin Christie version 1 and version 2, and now this Perry Gladwin Christie version 3, no one has used it more expansively as those three versions of existence to bury people who criticize it. But here's the point. We have to look at the socioeconomic failures of us as a country and ask, why haven't our personal incomes and the lives of behemoths kept pace with the GDP growth that is experienced since that has happened and now? You know, would we have doubled the GDP now today? But have we have incomes in the Bahamas that's been doubled? Have we have ownership that's been doubled? If you look at the personal incomes of behemoth families, it should have grown exponentially as the economy grew exponentially. So what we have is a problem of an inclusive opportunity and ownership economy as opposed to some law that excluded you. It's like saying you pass a law. The law wasn't passed for foreigners. It was passed for the organized growth and development of the country. If leadership failed to educate and incorporate behemoths into that growth perspectives that they put outside, then it's a failure of leadership, and it's a failure upon us and the choice of those leadership, because that means as collectively we fail because that leadership came from us. And so I think if we are now, the new opportunity is here. We still own the behemoths personally, probably own still 90% or more of all the land in the Bahamas or in our constructive control. So we must now ask, how do we take possession of the land? Remember the Bible says, occupy until I come? It has a powerful meaning if the church would understand what it stands for. It was a business command. And so we, claiming to be a Christian nation or one that abides by Christian values and the rules of law, need to understand the law and embrace the global economic opportunity for expansion into our economy as opposed to making opportunities for individuals to leave the country and not come back. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, C. Allen. Thank you. Absolutely. Here's another text. ZNS is there because it's a distraction for PM foolishness. But what they could do if they don't take the beige computers with them? Like how they can send the data back? So goes Puerto Rico. So goes the 52nd state crumbling. Thank you, texter. Okay. Who is and isn't attending Trump's 2025 inauguration? Expected to be in attendance were notable guests, including foreign leaders and tech CEOs. What's interesting is the article also says, according to State Department records dating back to 1874, a foreign leader has never attended a transfer of power ceremony in the United States of America.
Really?
Wow. Okay, so here we go. In addition to the four other living presidents, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and President Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris, who faced off against Trump, they all expected to attend, a slate of tech CEOs, including Meta's Mark Zuckerberg, Tesla's Elon Musk, Apple's Tim Cook, TikTok's Xu Chu, and Google's Sundar Pichai were also expected to attend Trump's inauguration, which made me remember the SpaceX explosion that happened this weekend.
Yeah,
over Turks and Caicos. We put that on the list to talk about.
And forgive me, I wanted to say this. There were, for lack of a better word, I know I'm using the wrong word, shrapnel. You know when you have, when you shoot the
shrapnel.
Parts of the wreckage or whatever this explosion from the SpaceX fell in onto Turks. And I want to know if they caused any damage or death. Who would the government lobby on behalf of?
Who would be responsible taking care? What I wanted to ask is, you sure that's what that is?
It fell.
I'm certain I have a piece in the bush by me.
Mm.
I know exactly the water, because I live near the water wash it into the bush.
Yeah.
Producer, let's get, thank you very much. Let's go to the phone line. No, it's a very important point, Mr. Newry. We can get to that in your hour.
Yeah, man.
Please, please. Good morning, caller.
Hi, Ms. Green. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Hey, Mr. Newry. How you doing?
Brilliant, man.
Ms. Green, you didn't hear anything but no other pardons by President Biden before he leaves office.
I was going to get to that in. Okay, I had planned all of that for my show, but these news stories were important and needed to be talked about.
I hope he made some other pardons before he leaves.
Well, we know that he pardoned Marcus Garvey.
He didn't pardon Liz Cheney?
No, I don't think so. I got a check. I know he pardoned Marcus Garvey.
Oh, wow. I don't think Trump was getting after Garvey, though.
No, Biden pardoned Garvey.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think what I'm saying is, did Trump, did Biden pardon any of the other people who Trump said he was going after?
Ah.
That's what I'm asking.
I'm checking it right now, but I don't think so. I think that would have made big news.
Well, he got 59 minutes to do.
Oh, wait, hold on. 6 minutes ago on Vanity Fair, Joe Biden pardons Anthony Fauci, Liz Cheney, and there January 6th committee with hours left. Okay, see, because here's my thing, right? Mm-hmm. Later in the article, and when we get onto Newry's side, right? In the article, CBS is making predictions on Trump's first moves, and they suggest that he's going to fire special counsel Jack Smith. No, that it's a possibility, right?
He resigned.
And then another item we're going to talk about is dispensing with criminal cases against him. He is prepared to go after people who are prosecuting. Like, okay, if Joe Biden pardoned these people, would it be fair of Trump to then go pardon his January 6th people? I just put in a question mark right there the first day of our overlord.
Well, whether Joe Biden pardoned them or not, Trump's going to pardon the January 6th, those people who went to jail.
Man,
he's
listen,
pardon them.
Sir, why would you say something so exciting among such excitable people and not expect excitement at the last minute of my show?
And you know what Biden has to do? He has to do this to avoid harassment of those people who was on the committee, because you know they're going to be harassed.
Listen,
you know,
I shall beg. I beg Mr. Newry to allow us to transition straight back into this conversation on the other side. Please stay tuned and please call back if I pique your interest or your need to make an intervention. I thank you for this intervention you just made. Like I said, it was posted 6 minutes ago on Vanity Fair. Thank you so much, sir. You guys have been tuned into On the Clock. Make sure you hit that dial, because Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
And if you feel like giving up, don't you dare give in. Then you look around and see that you left the rest behind. You say, it ain't over right. No way. It ain't over right.
Until it's over.
I say, it ain't over right.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.